Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. It's Jesse Green here at the control panels, as always, and today we are talking all about personal relationships. In particular, we're going to be talking about how to scale personal, which sounds a little bit odd, because personal relationships are where you invest time, energy, and effort. But how do we do that across a platform where we've got many, many patients, many, many customers, if that's your business, but in dentistry, many, many patients? How do we do that? And how do we do that elegantly, successfully, and use technology to do that? So today I'm going to be joined by Matthew Barnett from Bonjoro. And what Bonjoro really do is they are a wonderful platform that allows you to create messaging. And they happen to use video for messaging, and it's got a tremendous applicability for dentists. But beyond the technology, what Matthew and I really talk about in this conversation is why personal is so important. And it's really about the power of small. It's about understanding people, understanding the relationship that you might have with your customer or your patient, and how to create that and how to develop that so that the patient gets a tremendous outcome and so too does the business. We cover a lot of territory in this conversation, and Matthew is a technology company CEO who understands people, which is kind of really weird for a technology person, but he is so clued in to the personal relationship element of business. It's not funny. So as always, you're going to want to have a pen and paper handy because we do cover some really cool things on this, and I know you're going to want to apply that to your practice on Monday as soon as you get back to the office. If you haven't heard, please come across and find us at the Savvy Dentist Facebook group. It's where we hang out. It's a dentist-only hangout where we talk about the business of dentistry and how to create a practice and a life that you love. So if you haven't found us there, head across to drjessegreen.com/Facebook and you'll find the group there. We look forward to seeing you there. But in the meantime, it's time to have a conversation with Matthew. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here at the Savvy Dentist Podcast. How's things up in Sydney town?
Oh, I'd love to tell you it's bright and beautiful, but it's quite a cloudy, miserable morning. We do get in here early because I have a lot of work to do in the States. So it's 6 a.m., raining, wind blowing, not the nicest start of the day, but it does wake you up.
Yeah, bracing, as they say.
Bracing,
I think, is the word that they use when it's really, trying to say it's a really crappy day, but we've got to find something good to say about it. It's bracing.
It's a positive attitude, and that's Australia in a nutshell. You know, everything's good. Yeah, as opposed to my homeland, the UK, it would be a sunny day, and they would say it was miserable. So it's too hot.
Hey, Matt, you are the founder of a wonderful tech company called Bonjoro, and obviously you've had a wealth of business experience. And we're talking a little bit off air about how Bonjoro came about as a serendipitous kind of business. And firstly, before we do get started, I'm wondering if you can just explain to the audience a little bit about how you came to be in the business that you're in, because my experience is life is never, ever linear. And I'm always curious about the journey and the lessons and the ups and downs along the way. So I'm wondering if you can give us a bit of a cook's tour of your journey.
I believe that, you know, businesses is part planning and mostly opportunity and timing. And that was certainly the case with us. So we have another business, another tech company, and we service large FMCG brands and large agencies generally in London and New York from Australia. And obviously with that kind of industry, with those kind of sales, relationships were everything. So getting in the room and pitching and meeting people, that face-to-face was a big part of it. But obviously, how do you get to that face-to-face in the first place? So we would have leads come into our funnel, signups, inquiries. And rather than just sending an email, we built a little system whereby we would send a video to those individuals. Well, specifically, I would send one to them. Generally on the boat, on the ferry, going to work, going past Sydney Opera House. Bearing in mind, most of these clients were overseas. Those messages, you know, I would say the person's name. So, hey, John, saw you sign up from Ogilvy, et cetera, et cetera. They love them. And in fact, we tripled our response rates from my usual drip campaigns. And it, you know what? It was partly the video, but it was more the fact I'd taken the time to actually send the message. You know, I'm quite I like to think of myself as a bit of a comedian. So that, yeah, that kind of came through as well. And we get all these replies saying, look, you guys have to come in and see us when you're next in London, New York. And coincidentally, one of those customers, I can't remember who, asked if they could use this for their customers. And I was like, yeah, sure, get on board. It was an absolute hack. And then I think the penny dropped when one of their customers then asked them how they could use it and tried to sign up. And we built this, and then people just started signing up and using it. And to be absolutely honest, we've just kind of learned along the way what it is we're doing with the product. It was meant to solve our problem, and it turns out it solved lots of other people's problems as well.
Actually, that's one of the questions I was going to ask you is really from your user's perspective, because now you've got thousands and thousands of users. What do you think the main problem is that you are solving with that particular piece of software?
We kind of lump it into what we call activation, which is quite a broad term. And what this means is taking customers from a point A where they are now to point B, which is where you want them, and using a relationship, a kind of personal piece of communication to do that. So essentially where the Bonjour works is by when someone sends you a new inquiry or is due to come into an appointment, you build these rules from your CRM, send a little, what we call a to-do action into the app. You then, rather than sending an email or a message or an automated piece, you actually record a message for them on video, which gets delivered to their email. And it's personal, saying, hey, John, you've got an appointment coming up in 3 years' time. Just want to check you're all good to go. Now, obviously, in that case, what you're doing is using it to make sure that John turns up by showing him that you're human. It's much harder to turn away from that. It all comes down to, I think, it's essentially customer service, for want of a better word. It's not actually about video. It's the fact that, you know, we like communicating one-to-one. We like humans. That's what it gets across. But more than that, when you spend 30 seconds on a customer and they know you've had to have spent 30 seconds because you said their name and you said something relevant to them, it buys you goodwill and it buys you advocacy. And it buys you a customer moving from point A to point B more than sending an email or an SMS will do in many cases.
Yeah, see, I think that's a really important part. And Matt, I'm going to tell you that in dental circles, I'm possibly viewed as a bit of an outlier in some senses. And that's because I see SMS as a fairly transactional type of communication methodology. And in dentistry, it's all about the relationship. The relationship is everything. And what I really appreciate about this particular method that you've described there, which we do a similar method with audio, actually, by the way, we use a little audio app. But I'm now thinking, as we're speaking, my cogs are turning very quickly about changing that. But the point that you've really highlighted, I think, is that if business is all about business, it's about creating a moment of connection. And what I'm hearing, if I've got this understood correctly, is that those little moments of connection are allowing you to take in our case, a patient or another business as a prospect or a lead from a point where they might be to where they want to be. And that is in dentistry, turning up for an appointment, completing a particular course of action, whatever that happens to be. The thing that I really love about customer service in a small business like a dental practice, a small to medium business, is to really astound someone or to do something meaningful and good for them is actually not that hard, because we've become so used to really crappy customer service. You know, we were talking a little moment ago about Optus and Telstra and all the telcos, and ultimately you're a number, you go through 27 voice menus to get to someone who can't or won't help you, and all of a sudden it's not that big a bar to leap. So I'm wondering if you've experienced that at your end too, and what the results have been for your customers who have adopted Bonjour.
Maybe just the outside Bonjour as well, internally, it's interesting. So we live in this world of tech, I guess, where our customers are all around the world. Now, competition is fierce, especially from the States. And there's one way to kind of win early on, which anyone can do, which most people don't do, and that's to excel at customer service. I don't mean just do a good enough job. I mean, like, excel. So we will hear the word, like, my team will hear the word love daily, coming back in terms of not so much the product, but my team's efforts to help our customers go to the next level. At Bonjour, look, it's still early days. Look, we're still learning. The product's not perfect. It still takes some setting up.
Is any product ever perfect?
I don't think it's ever perfect. The earlier you get on something, like, you need to understand that people are building and learning. But what we can't do in product, we do in person. And when you do this, it's in terms of what we use in tech, which will apply to dentistry, it increases lifetime value. In other words, it increases how many times people come back and spend money with you. So a customer is not just an appointment, it's the next 15 years and their kids, which is a huge amount of money. Yeah. You then think about advocacy, people will talk about it. Yeah. People talk about products, they actually talk about service and relationships a lot more. So this advocacy, it's very hard to measure, but someone asks about dentists and they go, oh, immediately use this person. They become super fans, if you like, which does not just apply to social media and cool companies, it applies to every single business. For people to talk about you, great customer service is the number one way to do it. I think in industries where trust and people are key, and dentistry is absolutely one of these, it's almost more important. But again, because of companies like Telstra's, your Optus's, in fact, a lot of the interactions we have on a daily basis, the customer service bar is so low that when you go above and beyond, and sending a video message is one of these points, there are other ways to do it. Like, we like to call it delighting customers because they're not expecting it. Yeah, they're not expecting it. It has a bit of a wow moment because customer service is inherently broken. Will that ever be completely fixed? I actually think it will always be a way to communicate because I think most brands and most people will not prioritize customer service. I think some will, and those ones will always be able to compete with it. I don't think it's easy. I think it takes a certain culture, a certain mentality, and a certain person to be good at it. I don't think it's very hard, but I think you actually have to care about customers. And, you know, maybe the Telstras and the Optuses don't actually care about customers. They care more about money.
Yeah, and shareholders. It's a really interesting conversation because culture is going to be a huge part of the business that succeeds, using customer service and creating that surprise and delight element on a consistent basis. What is it about culture that you think is the necessary ingredients for that to work? We spoke a little bit off air about Zappos as being a great example of a service-based culture. And I know that's something that you guys really strive hard to do in your business as well. I'm curious to ask, how did you create that culture? And secondly, how do you nurture and protect that culture?
No culture is unique. So my culture is not going to be the culture that many of your listeners will go and build, but you have to find your own culture. Now, in terms of elements you might want to include in that culture and customer service being part of that, I think two main factors that affect it. One is it does have to come top down. You do need to drive this. Psychology is something you have to work at. You can't just expect it to happen. I am still learning. I'm very early on in my journey into where we can take it to. But I think, you know, having values that you communicate to your team, and not just throwaway values, but like actual values that you actually believe in and that you hold to, you have to actually stick to them. So if family first is one of theirs, if something happens with family, anyone, no questions, goes and does it, we have to live and breathe that as well and know that people get that. So top down for sure, but you also have to hire for the right culture as well. And this is when you're doing your hiring process, there are questions and means you can read about this to include that, find out if someone does fit with your culture. And you might have someone who is an excellent technician, extremely experienced, but does not fit your culture. If that's the case, honestly, do not hire them. Potentially find someone who you can train, who might be more junior, but has the right cultural attitude and you can train in, is actually going to be a much more successful result for you as a company.
Yeah, we talk about a thing called the performance culture matrix in our space. And if you look at the vertical axis, it's performance, and the horizontal axis is culture fit. So on the top right-hand side, there's that great performer who's a great culture fit, the A player, doing everything we can to keep them. The B player is the person you've identified who may be a little less skillful in their particular role, but with some training will get there and they're a culture fit. And the C player you've also alluded to is someone who's technically really competent, but just not a good fit. And my experience with that as well, Matt, is A, try not to hire them, but B, sometimes we find that we already have. And it's a very difficult situation to deal with because a lot of business owners are nervous about letting go of the skill set to preserve the culture. And I understand the challenges and difficulties in that. My experience is that rarely can you fit someone into the culture that's not a fit. And invariably, it becomes a bit of a thorn in everyone's side, including the person, the C player, who might be a lovely person, but just not a fit, right?
It's true. Yeah. I mean, like, there are some companies who are better at this than others. And interestingly, you see kind of levels of culture. And I think a really good example is Google. So if any of your listeners know anyone who works at Google, generally you find out that they work a Google within the first half an hour of meeting them.
that long? They,
it's one of the first things that comes up in conversation. You can spot it in the energy. The Apple Store is the other one. You look at people who work in the Apple Store, you'll know straight away. These are very, very strong cultures, despite being giant organizations. And generally, interestingly, when cultures get bigger, when companies get bigger, the cultures tend to actually plateau. Yet these companies haven't done that. And it's a mix of hiring, but then it's also, it is absolutely training as well. You know, on day one, you're not going to be a Googler. By year one, you will be a Googler, whether you like it or not. And if you don't get to that stage, obviously you can be moved out. So I do think when you hire someone, you have a responsibility to train and bring that person under your wing. I do not think you should get rid of people straight away. I think that there is training to be done. It depends, you know, if you saw something in the interview and you saw something at that point, bring that out. Obviously, we do make mistakes and those people do need to leave. I do think you can bring people around if you get it early and if you know that, again, on day one, that it's a top-down piece as well as it is a bottom-up piece.
Completely. So for companies and businesses who want to adopt a customer service culture, really caring about their culture, we sometimes hear people say, oh, people fall in love with their product and less about their customer. And what I'm hearing you say is fall in love with the customer and really look after them, because in turn they will look after your business. I'm curious to understand, we talk a lot about scaling. You obviously hear that conversation, particularly in, you know, software type of business that you're in. But in a personal services type of business like dentistry, we talk about scaling, and sometimes it is hard to scale personal. And I'm curious to ask you, A, obviously I'm looking at this through the lens of Bonjoro and how that might assist in that. But do you think it is possible to scale personal in that sense? Or is it something that is just inherently unscalable? And is there software that does support in that particular process?
So I guess, I mean, with our company, our entire vision is to scale the personal. That's what we're trying to do. And right now, you know, we offer this video system. We're not wedded to... Video is a medium. It's not the product. The same as audio here is a medium. The same as text is a medium. Stop, like, we're not boxing it in here. What matters is the personal side. And this can be done through text, can be done through audio, it can be done through video, it can be done one-on-one. It will be done through virtual reality at some point in the future, I'm sure. You can absolutely scale personal, but the way you have to do it is you have to have your operations and your processes, those parts you need to automate and make extremely efficient. And obviously CRMs are helping with this. Obviously SMS systems are helping with this. You know, there's many tools out there that help you automate the process. But again, remember that what you should be doing is be able to put your time into the personal element. So if I take it, for example, with Bonjoro, and this again is one example, one tool amongst many, you're sending out videos individually to customers and patients. These messages might only take 30 seconds. They generally do. They're generally quick. They're generally easy to do. We give you all the information about what the customer has done, what's coming up. So you open it, you do a video, and then you get back to work. If you have a team, you can share it amongst the team. Now, if you think that each of these is taking maybe 40 seconds to a minute to do, if you had to do, you know, 25 a day as a team and the three of you, it's 10 minutes of work each. Now, if you look at that, again, it all comes down to results. If those double your conversions or increase them by 30%, is that worth 20 minutes of each of your times? I would say yes, it is. Yeah, especially in kind of high value work. And so it's a case of looking at, you know, the scale thing. It's all about the process and knowing what communication to use when. And there is a point when you need to take the time with the customer. Bonjour might be the answer. It might be picking up the phone. It might be something else. You need to know where those are. And then again, that's the highest value you can provide. Spend your time doing that, not all the back end stuff.
Yeah, again, I completely agree with that wholeheartedly. Because again, coming back to that point, it's about systemizing a process, but adding those human elements into it and allowing that, you know, that to flavor the whole thing. But where is it? Or let me ask a better question. Why do you think, generally speaking at the moment, just to change tack for a second, why do you think customer service has become so bad over the years? I know I'm kind of circling around to what we spoke about earlier with Optus and Telstra, but I'm wondering what conditions have led it to become that way. And then equally, my follow-up question will be, where does the opportunity lie? Obviously, there's the personalized service, but where do you see the trends happening in that space?
it's interesting with the scale thing. I think we see these kind of, you see these trends going on. You know, we go back in the day and it was a shopkeep attitude where, you know, we knew every customer, and then scale started to happen. And sometimes I think customers were fine with it at first. It was, you know, it was okay. It was new. Some areas they thought personal was happening when it wasn't. People have become more savvy to that over time. You know, marketers tend to take advantage of things and then break them for everyone else. And this has happened in communication, of course. So I think, you know, no longer do open rates on email excel when they actually used to be amazing. Now, not because everyone knows that it's all just lists and everything else. Yeah. And that's happened because some bad actors have got in there, as we call them, and have abused those systems, which will always happen. You can't prevent that. So I think there's a challenge with scale. I think as businesses have grown and grown and grown, they haven't handled that scaling well. And it's partly because the tools have not been there to allow them to do it. Absolutely. It's partly, you know, like think about building a team for Telstra today versus 20 years ago. It's actually cheaper probably today. Do it. There's more tools that are helping, but you know, these big machines are slow to move. So Telstra's not going to turn around tomorrow and change its culture. And so they're always going to be lagging behind a few years. And as a smaller business, you're much more nimble. You can pick up the quickest things. You can drop them. You can change them. It's not going to hurt you to try new stuff. And you can try new things tomorrow. So you can take advantage of the fact that more people are becoming aware of scaling operational stuff and spending more time on customers. Let's say, the big guys, as much as you hate it, it's hard to fault them because it is a very difficult challenge for them, very difficult for them to change. Again, the opportunity is that because of that, you can excel. And it's interesting, you know, we see customer support come in, and sometimes you'll get irate. And we've all seen this where you get irate customers come in and they're obviously having a bad day and they come in and they go straight for the throat. And you know what? I don't think it's their fault. Here's the thing. As I think, reframe how you think about it. I think it's because they've had bad customer experiences in the past, and very bad ones, which there are many. And then working around that and taking their point of view will actually allow you to communicate with them better. And the interesting thing is if you ever do have irate customers and you turn them around, which is not hard to do, these become your super fans. These become your advocates because, you know, it's interesting. If you don't have an issue, your contact with the company and with the team is fairly generic. When you have a challenge and someone solves it for you and they've helped you out of a bad situation, you then feel indebted, you know, the whole law of reciprocation. And the way you pay that off is by talking about the company and becoming a fan.
Yeah, lovely and wonderful. The recovery paradox is really powerful. We had a patient, Colin, who unfortunately did have an adverse experience with us. And thankfully, through our team, they were able to handle that really elegantly. And now Colin, as you say, has become a super fan. And it's quite remarkable. You would never think it's going to happen because, you know, for there was a few moments there where it was a little bit hairy, but ultimately it's come around. And I think the points you're talking about there about engaging with that person, solving a real problem, and personalizing that and being attentive and being, you know, present, for want of a better word, is going to be key. Matt, you've been incredibly generous with your time today, and I want to say thank you. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the future of this space, because you live in this world much more than I do, and it's obviously changing rapidly, changing probably on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. But what are the lessons that you would take out of living in or working in a world that is rapidly changing, constantly evolving? What have you had to do to take advantage of those opportunities? How did you stay alert to those opportunities, and how did you twist and turn and pivot and take advantage of everything that's come along your way?
It's like, I think communication methods are changing a lot. Obviously, video wasn't here. Smartphone video wasn't here 7 years ago at all. It just wasn't a thing.
Hard to imagine, isn't it, now, because it's so ubiquitous?
You just forget it, yeah? Look at how communication is changing. Look at where customers are living, you know, obviously. Social, SMS, email, God knows where next, or on site. Pay attention to those, and you have to keep testing because things are moving quickly. Don't be afraid to try new things. You know, if you try it doesn't work, great, you've learned something. If it works, there's payoff. I think in terms of the personalization at scale, this is a conversation that has only really come up more recently, I think, as a bigger piece. And with people realizing that they've lost a little something, and this is both on the customer and the business front. In many ways, with dentists, you're actually more in touch with customers than many of the businesses out there, because you have to be. I think maybe one other thing, and this is, again, maybe not so much for dentists, but for large businesses especially, I think the boundaries between formal and informal are dropping, and the world is okay with that. I think we're no longer necessarily the suits and ties and that kind of firewall. We are all people. Yeah, and the class systems have dropped out, so that's no longer a barrier. Yeah, and so you see that when you connect with people, you know, we see this in Bonjour, the messages that work are not necessarily in the lab or in the office. They're actually while you're getting your coffee. And it's basically just saying, look, I'm a dentist, but I'm also a real person with my dog and my kids. And in terms of relating and getting people to relate very quickly and go, oh, this is great, I trust this person. It's a wonderful way to get trust across. People want more genuine. Again, it's a balance. It needs to be right for your brand, you know, and right for your culture, of course. But I think don't be scared about breaking those boundaries. And again, my experience with dentists is that they're actually pretty good at this anyway. You know?
Well, I think we've had to become good at it, really, because ultimately we've got people in our chair who are usually generally not wanting to be there, to be candid. No one ever comes in wanting a procedure. They're there for an outcome. So we've had to kind of become better at understanding people, probably through necessity. You know, the old saying, necessity is the mother of invention. Matt, I just want to say thank you once again for taking the time out of your day to come and hang with us. For people who want to find out more about Bonjour, how it works, what would be the simplest and best way to figure out whether Bonjour might be a solution they want to integrate into their practice?
So like anything, I think try it out. If you go to bonjour.com, sign up, absolutely free for 14 days. More importantly, we will help you. You will receive a message from one of us for you personally when you sign up. If you get stuck, because it is a bit of setup, just get back to that person and ask them to help you, and they'll be back to you within, you know, 12, well, sometimes an hour, sometimes a bit longer, depending where in the world you are. But talk to us, we'll help you out. Try it out. Send out something to customers. If it works, great. If it's not quite right for your brand, that's also great. At least you've tested something. And if it's not right, we'll point you in the right direction. But look, give it a go. Give all these things a go. Very, very little investment versus a potential outcome.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that whole test and measure thing is going to be key. And I think it's that surprise and delight. So I think it's got tremendous potential in our space. I'm looking forward to seeing dentists bring this into their practice and really give it a good red hot go. So Matt, thank you so much once again for taking the time to hang with us, and hope we can catch up again soon.
No problem. Take care.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.